This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way, his sunnah, his methodology until the last day. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today's lecture, today's presentation is entitled, Who Will Truly Be the Happy One? Who will truly be the happy one? Each and every single one of us in this life, in this transitory life, in this temporary life, is after happiness. It doesn't matter whether you are young, you are old, okay? What language you speak, the color of your skin, where you come from, everybody wants to be happy. And in some cultures, it is commonly believed that happiness is achieved when you become rich. Some people think, if I become rich and I have lots of money, I'm going to be happy. Some people believe that authority and power makes you happy. Some people are of the belief that popularity makes you happy. Everyone seems to be selling happiness these days. There is this one way or another of trying to sell people how to be happy. For example, and this is maybe an extreme case, drug dealers, people selling, you know, all sorts of illicit drugs, recreational, they call it recreational drugs, so you can be happy. So when you're feeling down and you're going through a trial and a dilemma and a challenge in your life, we can sell you a substance that will make you happy. Some people, such as pharmaceutical companies, will sell you some sort of, you know, a lighter version of the illicit stuff that will make you happy. Some sort of medication or medicine or whatever it is you want to call it, or herb. And then we have, of course, Hollywood pumping out their movies, and Bollywood, and of course, you know, Disney. Everyone is out to sell happiness. We have toy companies, you know, all sorts of toys and gadgets and, you know, games and consoles and all these different technological devices that are being thrown at us to make us happier people. And then, of course, there are those self-help gurus, you know, writing all sorts of books about how to be very happy and what have you. So, as you can see, many people, they will try and sell you happiness in many, many ways. Now, today, one of the highest-selling medicines in the world are antidepressants. Yes, this is the reality, that many people are depressed, that antidepressants are one of the top three selling drugs or medicines in the world. When it comes to, for example, you have top-selling medicines like that are related to the heart or diabetes, and up there with those two, and you can verify that with your local drugstore, as they call it, or your local pharmacist or chemist, you will find that antidepressants are prescribed by so many doctors. People are depressed. People are going through anxiety, through stress. Studies have revealed that in Australia, being an Australian, I'm going to be talking about Australia, of course. In Australia, one in four women and one in six men will experience depression at some time in their life. That depression disorders affect approximately 18.8 million Americans. 18.8 million Americans are depressed. That's almost the population of Australia. 15% of the population of the most developed countries, most developed countries, 15% of the population of most developed countries suffer severe depression. 15% of depressed people will commit suicide. And that over the past decade, some 2,100 people have died by suicide each year in Australia. 2,100 people. And that depression results in more absenteeism than almost any other physical disorder. People will take time off work and not come to work because of being so depressed. And that the World Health Organization concluded in a research that I came across that by 2020, depression will be the world's major health problem, costing many billions of dollars to deal with. So, subhanAllah, what is amazing is that we have advanced technologically. I mean, if we think about the world that we live in today, the technology that we have is phenomenal. When we look at the internet, when we look at the social networks, today, you know, I can have the whole world in my very bedroom or my lounge room. The whole world can be, actually, the whole world could be in my palm with our smartphones. You know, this device here that I can pretty much conceal with my hand is, you know, you are in contact with the world. You are in contact, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's MSN, whether it's you know, Skype, and the list goes on. So we have all of these technological devices, and mashallah, and alhamdulillah, in many ways we have advanced technologically, and in the way we do things, in the way we travel, and getting things done. But one area that we have failed in is when it comes to the development of our soul and our spirit. That makes, what is it that will make us happy? Because these devices, yes, they exist, but look at the statistics. The statistics are alarming. And that despite all of this, we're not happy. And the question is, can happiness really be purchased? Can you buy happiness? That is the question. Is happiness achieved by maximizing pleasure? If you maximize pleasure, do you achieve happiness? Or if you earn fame, you become famous, or you have a lot of fortune, do you become necessarily happy? Well, if you look at, again, the lives and the biographies of so many famous people, you will find that they are very miserable people. Very miserable in many ways. Suicidal. Or living a life of unlimited leisure, does that bring you happiness? Now, one reason we have so much trouble attaining happiness is that we have no idea about what it is. What is happiness? If you were to speak to different people, they're going to give you a different answer of what happiness means to them. So there's no one definition of what happiness is. So consequently, what happens? We make poor judgments. We make poor judgments in our life. Sometimes, in order to achieve happiness, people attempt to follow complicated paths. So they'll adopt this way and that way and this methodology and this system, and they'll try all these different things, very complicated, just to find happiness. And they fail to see one path that leads to ultimate happiness. And that path is the path of Islam. And to every non-Muslim who is listening to me right now, I invite you to Islam. And I say to you, if you embrace Islam and the teachings of Islam sincerely and with an open mind and an open heart, I guarantee you by Allah that you will find happiness and you will be tranquil and you will find the serenity that you are looking for, no matter despite how much money you have or where you are living in the world right now. Islam offers you that. Islam is a way of life. Islam is not something that we do every now and then. It's a way of life. Islam offers solutions to the world's, to today's perplexing problems. Islam is a spiritual faith. For those after and in pursuit of spirituality, Islam does offer spirituality through its many ways of worship. And it nurtures the souls of the human being. Alhamdulillah, Islam provides people with a plethora of coping mechanisms to deal with the challenges of life and bitter hardships. Yes, this life, without a doubt, consists of trials, tribulations, hardships. And when you look into the teachings of Islam and into its two primary sources, the Quran and the Sunnah, you will find that it teaches us many concepts, many actions, both that are preventative and curative in making us happy and making us deal with our dilemmas, making us deal with the loss of a loved one, making us deal with and understand why Allah has taken away the life of somebody that is dear to us, or why we are in a situation that we are in. So, alhamdulillah, Islam has left no stone unturned. Islam provides mankind with many formulas to achieve happiness, not only in this transitory life, but more importantly, in the life to come. Because we exist on the face of this earth to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and as a test that one day we will be moving on to the next life, and whereby we'll be meeting Allah, our Creator, and He will ask us about whether we fulfilled our duty towards Him or not. In the hadith that is found in Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic book after the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, True enrichment does not come through possessing a lot of wealth. It's not about how much wealth that you have that will enrich you and make you happy. He said, but true enrichment is the enrichment of the soul. Yes, you may have so much money and so much wealth, but are you happy in here? Are you truly happy in here? Because materialism or materialistic things do not bring about happiness. To find happiness, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, ladies and gentlemen, to find true happiness, we must seek to know Allah Azza wa Jal, our Creator. And especially through His names and His attributes. How can we expect to find happiness? How can we expect to find happiness when we forget about Allah? When God Almighty is not our priority. Allah in the Quran, He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forgot about Allah. And so Allah makes them forget about themselves. A person doesn't know how to find happiness because Allah leaves them to themselves. But when you include Allah in your life, Allah will direct you, will guide you to the resources that will make you a happier person. And it is very important to be in constant pursuit of the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jalla, knowledge. It's very important that we continue to learn and never stop learning. It is about being ready to learn. And in some cases, being ready to unlearn some of the things that we have learned that have no basis, that are not true, that are not founded on true reports. So it is about learning, it's about unlearning sometimes, and it's about relearning. And we have to have this attitude, inshallah. Because there are many things in life that we will learn that are fabricated or that are based on weak reports. So it's very important to be always seeking the truth. Even if it means it's going to be bitter. Even if it means the truth is going to be bitter, at least in the very beginning. But inshallah ta'ala, the truth will manifest and the truth will enter your heart and conquer your soul, and you will be a happier person as a result of that truth. Just like when you take medicine in the beginning, it's bitter, but then you get better, inshallah. So it's about seeking knowledge, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Ibn Taymiyyah, one of the great scholars of Islam, he said, one day I became ill. I was sick. And the doctor, the physician, told me that reading and giving talks on knowledge would only exasperate my condition. It's only going to make things worse, because he was very, very dedicated, very passionate about, you know, learning and teaching this knowledge. That could be, you know, require a lot of effort. So the doctor said to him, look, I suggest that you just cut down on all this, you know, heavy learning that you're doing. Cut down on this da'wah that you're doing. And so Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, look, you know, I can't do this. This is in my blood. You want me to leave off something that I do every day of my life for so many hours? So Ibn Taymiyyah, he asked the doctor, he said, look, he said, does the physical body, because he was physically ill, he said, does the physical body become stronger or better, and is the sickness repelled if the soul is happy? So if my soul is happy and joyful, is there a relationship between the soul and the physical body? You know what he's getting at, huh? So then the doctor says, yes. If you feel good on the inside, this helps the outside. This helps you, your physical body, in repairing itself. And subhanAllah, he said, well, my soul finds joy and comfort and strength when I seek knowledge and when I impart this knowledge. So this is something that we need to keep in mind, inshallah ta'ala. It is about nurturing our soul and nurturing, you know, just as we nurture our physical body, we need to always be nurturing our spiritual bodies as well, inshallah. Now, today we're talking about who is truly the happy one and how to find this happiness and some exercises that you can do to be happy. One research that I came across stated and listed seven scientifically proven ways to increase your happiness. So there's not, you know, it's not like a huge list. And I thought, let me share these seven with you. Seven scientifically proven ways. And you know what's interesting about these seven? Each and every single one of them is found in the teachings of Islam from over 1400 years ago. Whereby we didn't need to do scientific research to come to these conclusions. So, what are they? The first one that was mentioned is avoid comparisons. Avoid comparisons. Don't go comparing your situation to others. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually, he told us, he said in the hadith, he said, don't look at the one who is in a superior position to you, but look at the one who is in an inferior or less fortunate situation than you are, so you can become more grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. So don't go looking at people who are doing better. But look at those people who are less fortunate than you. Those individuals that are less fortunate. Because when you look at those less fortunate, you feel, you know what? Alhamdulillah. I've got, you know, I have something that he hasn't got. But when you start to look at those above you, you're going to feel miserable. So don't go comparing. And in saying that, when it comes to comparisons, how do you know? You want to be rich like such and such. Let's say you are a practicing Muslim, and Allah is your priority. Islam is your priority, right? You're a practicing Muslim. And you want to be like so and so who is rich. How do you know if you became rich, you wouldn't be corrupted? Or that your wealth would actually occupy you from worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla? How do you know? So don't wish to be somebody in somebody else's position. It might not necessarily be good for you. Don't wish to be a poor person. In saying that, don't wish. If you're rich, don't say, I wish I was poor. Maybe you were rich and you were practicing. Maybe if you were poor, you wouldn't be so practicing because you'd be worried, too worried about accumulating the wealth. Don't wish to become, let's say for example, you have an illness. You have an illness and you feel that if you are in a better or a more healthier state, you would be in a better situation. How do you know? Maybe it's better for you to have your illness and yet you are one that is remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. If you were in good health, you might not. So, and vice versa. So it's very important to accept. Accept your condition and say Alhamdulillah. And this is the way of a believer who says Alhamdulillah. He praises Allah Azza wa Jal. The second one of the seven scientifically proven ways to increase your happiness, they said, this research stated, smile. Smile even when you don't feel like it. Smile even when you don't feel like it. That's what they said. Well, guess what? Let's see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about this over 1400 years ago. He said and the hadith is found in Sahih Bukhari. He said, do not think little of any good deed. Do not think little of any good deed. Don't belittle a good deed. Don't say, oh, that's nothing, that's just trivial. He said, even if it is just greeting your brother, in other words, another person, brother or sister in Islam, with a cheerful smile. With a cheerful smile. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith found in Bukhari, he said, to smile in the face of your brother is charity given on your behalf. It's a sadaqah. It's a charity. And that, subhanAllah, a smiling face indicates a good quality and causes blessed results. And as the saying goes, a smile is a curve that sets many things straight. So inshallah ta'ala, smile. Many people, they don't smile enough, always frowning and always, you know, so serious. Why so serious? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always known to have a smiling face. It represents optimism, confidence, and people are attracted to confident people. People like to spend time with confident people. They don't want miserable people around them. It's not, you know, one way if you want to get rid of people from hanging out with you and spending time with you is just be very miserable. Believe me, before you know it, people don't want to spend time with you. You're too sad. So, don't worry. Be happy. Smile, inshallah. Number three, they said, get out and exercise. Get out and exercise. A university study shows that exercise may be just as effective as drugs in treating depression. If you're depressed, if you're very miserable, you're feeling down, go for a jog. Get involved with something with a little bit of strenuous, some strenuous activity, because then there is a release of oxytocins, or endorphins, the happy stuff, the happy fluids that are released when you exercise. So get out there and exercise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remember I told you, everything in this research has the support in the hadith or in Islam. In the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a strong believer, al-muslimul qawi. He said, a strong believer is better and more beloved in the sight of Allah than a weak believer. Strength. Now here he's not only talking about the strength of your faith, which is a priority, of course, to be strong in your faith, in your iman, in your taqwa. But also that optimum health and fitness were desirable traits in a believer. The happy one, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the one who has a balanced life. And the key word, the operative word here is balance. And when Salman came to Abu Darda, he visited his brother in Islam, his buddy. Salman visited Abu Darda. And Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with him, was detached from, you know, this the worldly pleasures. Too detached. So Salman gives him brotherly advice. He says to him, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ فَأَعْطِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقَّهُ. He said, your Lord has rights over you. Yes, Allah has rights over us to worship Him, to follow His commands, to keep away from His prohibitions. Your Lord has rights over you. Yourself has rights over you. Nurturing your mind, your body, your soul. Your family has rights over you. And he goes on and he says, and give each their due rights. Give each their due rights. So therefore, brothers and sisters in Islam, it's about balance. Your body, look after it. Look after your physical body. Eat healthy. Exercise. Very important. There is a link between your physical body and your spiritual body. Healthy body equals what? Healthy mind. So let us remember this and let us apply this. Let us, you know, go for our walks and our exercise and, you know, whatever it is. Wallahi, you will find a better quality of your life. You'll find yourself sharper in memory, happier. This has all been proven scientifically. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Number four, they said, make friends and treasure family. Make friends and treasure your family. That's one of the scientifically proven ways of being happy. So happier people tend to have good families, friends, and supportive friendships. So, and we find, subhanAllah, in the Qur'an, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 36, Allah Azza wa Jal talks about this. He says, worship Allah and associate nothing with Him, and to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor farther away, the companion at your right, the traveler, and those whom your right hand possess. So what is this telling us? To have relationships, to have good relationships with the people that are around us. And when you form these good relationships, you will become a happier person, inshaAllah. Number five, they said, say thank you like you mean it. Say thank you like you mean it. By you being a grateful person, a person who expresses their gratitude and their thanks, you will be a happier person. One study revealed that people who express their gratitude on a weekly basis are healthier, more optimistic, and more likely to make progress toward achieving personal goals. Brothers and sisters in Islam, ladies and gentlemen, Islam teaches that whatever condition we find ourselves in, we should be grateful. Always be grateful. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 152, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Allah says, so remember me, I will remember you. And be grateful to me and do not deny me. Part of our faith is to show gratitude and show your thanks. And it's part of thanking Allah Azza wa Jalla when you thank others. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسَ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. Whoever does not show their thanks towards the people is not one who shows their thanks to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you want to be amongst those who shows their thanks to Allah, then show thanks towards people. Very simple, thank you. In Islam, the equivalent of thank you and better is the phrase, جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Or to a female, جَزَاكِ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Or خَيْرًا. Which means, may Allah compensate you with goodness. May Allah bless you with goodness. How beautiful is that? When someone does an act of service towards you or for you, and you can say to them, may Allah compensate you for the service that you have just done for me. That is what Islam teaches us. And we do not belittle any act of goodness. So we say thank you to all those acts. That is what Islam teaches us. And when you are thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah gives you more. Subhanallah, you thank Allah. By thanking Him, He gives you more. What's the proof? It's found in Surah Ibrahim, verse 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. He says, and remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you in favor. But if you deny, indeed my punishment is severe. The sixth scientifically proven way of finding happiness, they said, is give it away and give it away now. Give it away and give it away now. What do they mean by that? It means it's about being selfless and not selfish. It's about being altruistic, altruism, thinking about others and putting others before you. When you can do that, you will find yourself a happier person. And one researcher, he said, helping a neighbor, volunteering or donating goods and services results in what he calls or terms a helper's high. You get high just by helping someone. And you get more health benefits than you would from exercise or quitting smoking. When you are selfless and you give to others. And now let's look at Islam. If we look at Islam, Islam offers us opportunities to be happy and to get that helper's high through what? Through zakah, which is part of the five pillars of Islam, whereby a Muslim gives, you know, a percentage of their wealth every single year if they meet the nisab, if they meet the threshold, to the poor, to the needy, and those who are deserving, the deserving recipients, as we find in chapter 9, verse 60 of the Quran, the eight deserving recipients. Zakah, sadaqah. Islam encourages us to enjoin the good. Islam encourages us to forbid the wrong. So this is how, when you go and give, and you do these things, you're going to feel happy. You know, you actually feel very happy. And I can tell you this as a da'wah worker. You know, when I sit with someone and I can impart what little knowledge Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me with somebody, and just give them, even if it's just one verse from the Quran or one hadith, the overwhelming feeling of happiness, I cannot explain to you. And you ask any da'wah worker, any sheikh, any imam, and they will tell you the same thing. There is a sweetness that evolves or comes about. The seventh scientifically proven way of finding happiness or achieving happiness, they said, put money low on your list of priorities. Put money low on your list of priorities. people who put money high on their priority list are more at risk for depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem, according to researchers. What does Islam say about this? In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi, by Allah, I am not afraid. I am not afraid that you will be poor. He said, but I fear that worldly wealth will be bestowed upon you as it was bestowed upon those who lived before you. He's talking to the Muslims, he is addressing the Muslims. He said, so you will compete amongst yourselves for it, and they competed for it, as they competed for it, and it will destroy you as it destroyed them. When you start competing for wealth and making wealth your priority, it can destroy you. So the question is, who is truly the happy one? Who is really happy? Not this superficial happiness, this pretend happiness, but really who is the one that is going to be happy in this life? Happy in the life of al-barzakh, when you are in the grave, the transitory life. And who is the happy one on the Day of Judgment? And who is the happy one beyond the Day of Judgment? Let us see what Islam has offered. There is a beautiful verse in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He gives us the formula for happiness and a goodly life. And every single one of us is after a goodly life. He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, that whoever does righteous deeds, good deeds, male or female, and he is a believer or she is a believer, we will grant them a goodly life. Righteous deeds, pleasing to Allah, having the correct belief, the belief that Allah wants you to believe in, not the belief that your mentality and your logic tells you is the right one, but a belief that is based upon facts, upon evidence, without a shadow of doubt. Allah says, we will grant this person a goodly life. It's very black and white. And so I invite every non-Muslim to Islam to taste the goodly life. And I invite every Muslim who has derailed and who has been hoodwinked and who has been duped by the shaitan, the devil and his agents, I invite him and her to come back to the teachings of Islam. And you will find happiness. And that, wallahi, you will not find it through drugs and through committing haram and through illicit relationships. The happy one is the one who will follow the guidance of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. He said, and whoever follows my guidance will neither go astray, meaning in this world, nor will he suffer, meaning in the hereafter. Listen to what he says in the next verse. He says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. He says, and whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a depressed life or miserable life. The happy one, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the one whose heart is in consistent connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, with the Creator. Morning and evening, day and night, through taqwa Allah, revering Allah Azza wa Jal and being conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. The happy one is the one whose heart finds peace and tranquility through the remembrance of Allah. Remembering him with his heart, with his tongue and with his limbs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to us in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. It is through the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find contentment. That's why we need to remember Allah. And when you remember Allah, guess what? He remembers you. And when He remembers you, amazing things are going to happen in your life. But it's up to us to remember Him. How? With our tongue. Reading the Quran. Words of remembrance in the morning and the evening, after the salat, before you go to sleep, before you go to your car, into your home, leave your home, into the masjid, leave the masjid. And all those times that have been legislated to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And so it's very important, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to fortify yourselves and protect yourselves through the morning and the evening supplications. Tables have turned. Okay, saying it through their actions, they are saying, relieve us from the salah. Instead of give us peace and rest through the salah, they are saying, relieve us of the salah. We just want to get this over and done with. So the Muslim shouldn't have this attitude. Salah shouldn't be a burden, but it should be something that you look forward to. And part of the problem, brothers and sisters in Islam, is our lives are too rushed. We need to tone it down a bit. And we need to, work at a slower pace. You know, there are so many opportunities, especially in the Western world, to work and to make money, to socialize. But we need to strike that balance. Otherwise, you find yourself always in a rush. And so, when you rush, there is a ripple effect. And you find your salat is rushed. Your acts of worship are rushed. And you don't enjoy those acts of worship. So pace yourself. That's the word I'm looking for. Pace yourself. Always, inshallah. The happy one is the one who fasts the Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, and who fasts the other days of the year that are recommended to fast. The one who is truly happy is the one who gives sadaqah. You see, when you give for charity, you get that satisfactory feeling that I spoke about earlier. The happy one is the one who fulfills the fifth pillar of Islam, Hajj. When you fulfill Hajj, you find yourself happier. You find yourself, you have discharged your duty to Allah Azza wa Jal. You see, that's the thing. We live sometimes with, as we're traveling towards Allah Azza wa Jal, we actually feel that I haven't completed my five pillars of Islam. So the quicker you can fulfill the fifth pillar, the better. Don't procrastinate. As soon as you can afford it, go. How do you know that you're going to become ill or not? How do you know that you are even going to live? The happy one is the one who thanks Allah Azza wa Jal, as we've mentioned. The happy one is the one who is respected and loved by others because of his excellent manners. When you have excellent manners, you'll be happy because people will respect you and people will love you. And subhanAllah, this is because Allah loves you. And when Allah loves somebody, as per the hadith, He calls out to the inhabitant, He calls out to Jibreel, to Gabriel, and He says to him, I love so and so, so love him. And so Jibreel loves that person. And then Jibreel calls out to the inhabitants of the heavens, to the angels. And He says, Allah loves such and such, so love him. And so He's loved by the inhabitants of the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for the people on this earth to love that person also. So there is happiness, their happiness is sought by, you know, by also gaining, inshallah ta'ala, you know, that respect. And one of the biggest assets, one of your biggest assets that you can have in life is that you have the respect of others. If you can have the respect of others and people respecting you, this is a very big asset to have with you, inshallah ta'ala. The happy one is the one who keeps away from sins no matter how minor they are. He doesn't belittle a sin. The happy one is the one who recognizes the value of time and doesn't waste it. Muslims don't waste time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, He says, as per the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ عَنْ أَرْبَعَ. That the 2 feet of the son of Adam will not move on the Day of Judgment until he's asked about 4 things. And one of those questions that you'll be asked about is your life and how did you spend it? How did you spend your time? How did you spend your youth and your young age when you had all of this energy and all of this time on your hand? How did you spend it? Don't waste time. Allah mentions time in the Quran, wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, that by time, man is in loss except for those who believe and who act upon their belief, who does righteous deeds and calls others towards the truth and those who are patient. The happy one is the one who is patient. Yes. When you are patient, because much of the dilemmas and much of the struggles of life require one to be patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned patience in about 102 times in the Quran. So it's very important that we are in constant state of sabr and patience. The happy one, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, will be the one who recites Ayatul Kursi after each obligatory prayer. Ayatul Kursi, which is chapter verse 255, from the second chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. Listen to this hadith, which is found and collected by Ibn Hibban, and it meets the conditions of Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi immediately after each prescribed prayer, there will be nothing standing between him and his entering Jannah except death. What lays between you and Jannah is death. So you owe it to yourself to read Ayatul Kursi. What's it going to take? 30 seconds of your time after each salah. And you can be guaranteeing for yourself everlasting happiness. And that is true happiness. The happy one is the one whom if Allah destines for him to die. And his last words are, La ilaha illallah. That is the happy one. The one who's able to say upon dying, La ilaha illallah. There is no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah. That is the happy one. If you're able to say that, that's a very good sign because Allah granted you the ability to say it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man kana akhira kalamihi min ad-dunya la ilaha illallah, dakhla al-jannah. Whoever's parting words from this dunya, from this world, la ilaha illallah, will enter Jannah. So don't you think that person is going to be happy? The happy one is the one who when he dies, people speak positively about him. That person is a happy person. One day, a funeral procession went by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he was with the companions. And the people, they started to say some good things about it. Good things about that funeral, about that person who is deceased. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wajabat, which means it deserves it. And then another funeral procession went by. And the people started saying bad things about that person, that deceased person. He said, wajabat. He said, it deserves it. So the companions, you know, as they are, they questioned things. They said, you know, this funeral procession went past and you said it deserves it. And this other one went past and you said it deserves it. It deserves it. What did you mean, Ya Rasulullah? What do you mean by that? He said, the first one, you said good things about it, and so it deserves to go to Jannah. It deserves to go to paradise. He said, the second one, you said very bad things about that person, and so that person, obviously through his action, deserves to go to the hellfire. He said, at the end of all of this, you are Allah's witnesses on his earth. You are Allah's witnesses. Antum shuhada Allahi ala ardi. You can see. It's very evident sometimes who are the ones who are sincere and the truthful ones from the ones who are con artists or who are deceptive or who are the fake ones, the fakies. Okay? We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from amongst the truthful ones and the sincere ones and the believers and those who not only talk the talk but walk the walk, inshaAllah ta'ala. The happy one, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the one who leaves behind passive actions that are accumulating for him rewards whilst he is in the grave. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when the son of Adam dies, his actions come to an end except for three things. So when you die, your actions cease to benefit you except for three things that you left behind. And he mentioned, sadaqatun jariyah, an ongoing or a continuous charity. So you contributed towards the building of a masjid or an institute that helps people. You will reap up the rewards for as long as that institute is there whilst you are in the grave. Knowledge which gives benefit. If you leave behind knowledge, that will benefit you in the hereafter. That will benefit you and allow you to have hasanat and rewards even while you were in the grave. And a pious child who prays for him. So this is why it's very important to bring up our children, bring them up, giving them a good Islamic upbringing. When they have a good Islamic upbringing, okay, they will make dua for you. And they will remember you. There is a hadith that mentions that on the day of judgment, a father will be in a lofty position in Jannah, a high position in Jannah. And he will question this, and he will say, I didn't do much to deserve this position. And it will be said to him, you had a pious child that was making dua, that was supplicating for you, and this is what earned you your high position. It's up to you. The more you invest in your children, and you bring them up to be good Muslims, the more they are going to remember you when you pass on. So guess what? It's a win-win situation. You both win. Invest in your children. It's worth it. And you will find true happiness, inshallah ta'ala, whilst you are in your very grave. The happy one is the one who dies, and he enters the grave, and he is able to answer the three questions that he will be asked by Munkar and Nakir, the two questioning angels who come and ask you those three questions. The happy one is the one who's able to say, and only Allah will allow them to say this, Allahu Rabbi. Allah is my Lord. Islam is my deen. Islam is my religion. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad is my messenger. That is when they ask the questions, who is your Lord and what is your religion and who is your prophet? And then this person will be happy because he will have furnishings from Jannah in his grave. And he will wish that the day of judgment will come about out of yearning to meet up with Allah Azza wa Jal. The happy one on the day of judgment, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the one who will be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. When there will be no other shade except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade. The shade of Allah's throne. And in the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want to be amongst those people in this shade, be amongst these seven people. He said, there are seven whom Allah will shade in His shade on the day when there is no shade except for His shade. Number one is a just ruler, a just leader. Number two, a youth who grew up in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So grew up worshipping Allah from a young age. Number three, a person whose heart is attached to the masajid, to the mosques. Whose heart is attached to prayer, looking forward to prayer. Number four, two people who love each other for Allah's sake, meeting for that and parting upon that. That you love somebody purely for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason. And number five, a man who is called by a woman of beauty and position for illegal relations. And he says to her, I fear Allah. He will be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The shade of Allah's throne. A man, number six, who gives in charity and hides it such that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given in charity. So the more you can conceal your charity, this is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a man who remembered Allah in private, so his eyes shed tears. You remember Allah, you read the Quran, you read some hadith, you remember Him, and you shed tears, and you cry, and you weep. Because of that, Allah will place you under this shade. So, make an effort to be amongst one of these seven, inshaAllah ta'ala. So that you can be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. The truly happy one, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the one who will enter Jannah. Even if he is the last person to enter Jannah. Even if he is the last person to enter Jannah, he is the one who will truly be happy. And this is how true happiness is achieved. And once you taste it, you will never want to change or revert back to your former wrong ways, and nobody will be able to take it away from you. Set yourself a lot of realistic goals, brothers and sisters in Islam. Set yourself some goals. Stop procrastinating and give all those excuses black eyes. And start to work towards your akhirah if you haven't already started. It really is all about the akhirah. In this life, there is sometimes happiness and sometimes there's misery. In the hereafter, it's going to be ultimately complete and utter happiness or complete and utter and perpetual devastation and loss and punishment. But it's whilst you are still breathing right now, it's your call. It's your decision. Nobody else can make that decision for you. It's time for you to make a change, inshaAllah ta'ala, and to a change that will make you happier in this life and in the hereafter. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the strength to make us translate and to put into reality the theory that we have just gone through. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from amongst the happy ones in this life and the happy ones from the hereafter, in the hereafter, and to make us and to save us from amongst those who will be miserable in this life, or miserable in the hereafter, or miserable in both. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. InshaAllah ta'ala, we will take some questions now. I hope you're going to go easy on me after a break. Bismillah.